From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Gen X is an emerging contaminant, a chemical compound that is both product and byproduct in this story. Chemours, a spinoff of DuPont, has been discharging the toxin into the Cape Fear River, which is the source of drinking water for most people in New Hanover, Pender, and Brunswick counties. The local water utility, which distributes treated water in the three-county area, is unable to remove the compound through its treatment processes. Researchers in the Netherlands are studying the health effects of Gen X, and while there is still limited data, the Star News reports those scientists express particular concern about the long-term impacts on humans. For those listening to our live Thursday show, it was just last night that the Star News WHQR and WWAY sponsored a public forum at UNCW's Keenan Auditorium on this issue. The panel of experts was wide-ranging. There were 15 people from elected officials to scientists to staffers from regulatory agencies. And you were asking the questions. Today, we're continuing the conversation, albeit with a much smaller group. In this first segment of Coastline, we're joined by Wilmington Mayor Bill Saffo. Mayor Saffo, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
And we also have Suzanne Brander, Assistant Professor in the Department of Biology and Marine Biology at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Dr. Brander's PhD is in toxicology. Welcome to the program, Suzanne Brander.
Thank you very much.
Later in the program, we'll hear from CFPUA's Jim Fleckner and New Hanover County Commission Chair Woody White. I should note that Chemours was invited to be here today. They did not respond. They did, however, send out this statement on June 26th. Chemours continues to believe that emissions from our Fayetteville plant have not impacted the safety of drinking water, and trace Gen X amounts in the Cape Fear River to date have been well below the screening level announced by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Chemours is a new company being built on a culture of safety and sustainability. And in that spirit, we will continue our efforts to reduce our global environmental footprint. We are, of course, inviting you to join this conversation. You can reach us on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Mayor Bill Saffo, you've been pretty outspoken about your disgust and outrage over the presence of Gen X in Wilmington's water. Whose fault is it? Who failed the people of southeastern North Carolina from where you sit?
From where I sit, I have to depend on the regulatory agencies of this country and this state to determine if the company is doing the right thing. They got a permit, a pre-manufacturing permit in 2009 that told them, do not put Gen X into the Cape Fear River. From that, we found out later that they did put Gen X into the river through another process at the plant. So to me, it was either a loophole in the system or the Environmental Protection Agency was not doing their job in making certain that the company was living up to its end of that agreement. So I have to look at the regulatory agencies first and foremost. The company's at fault, no doubt. And when we find out later that they've been putting this byproduct into the Cape Fear River as long as from 1980, I mean, I was beyond incensed. I was like, how in the world could you be putting a byproduct into the Cape Fear River that the EPA told you can't put in 2009 and allow this to be going on and tell us, oh, it's okay. We don't know how much has been put into the river. We don't know what those effects are on humans. And I had significant concerns, and I asked the plant as soon as in that meeting, quit, stop now until we know more about it. And I've been very adamant about that, and I appreciate the fact that they have decided now to stop putting any of this stuff into the river and dispose of it in their, I guess, the disposal sites in Arkansas and in Ohio. But I will continue to request that the EPA and DEQ continue to monitor the waters of the Cape Fear River for as long as it takes to make certain that the citizens of this community in this region feel that the water is safe to drink.
Suzanne Brander, you're a toxicologist, and so you can help us kind of understand the science component of this story.
Sure.
There was a study done by NC State. It was a team of researchers led by Detlef Knappe.
That's right.
And that's when that it was through that study that we discovered the presence of Gen X in the Cape Fear River. But last night, Dr. Knappe said, actually, it's only about 0.5% of the entire fluorochemical load in the river that is Gen X. What's the other stuff?
That's right. That's absolutely very important to bring up, that most of the focus indeed has been on Gen X, but that in the process of that study, they detected six other fluorochemicals of different chain lengths in the river, and many of these were at higher concentrations than Gen X was detected at. And something important to consider is that we're not just being exposed to Gen X in the drinking water, but we're being exposed to this entire cocktail of perfluorinated chemicals. To put things in perspective globally, countries like Sweden, for example, tend to regulate these types of chemicals together rather than issuing advisory levels for each separate chemical. So
they take the family of compounds.
That's right. So right now, Sweden has an advisory level of 90 nanograms per liter for a suite of 11 different perfluorinated compounds.
And what are our standards?
Well, right now, the EPA advisory level for older chemicals, so all of us have heard a lot of talk about C8 being the previously used chemical at Chemours up until about 2009 when it was replaced with Gen X. So right now, the standard for the EPA for older chemicals is 70 nanograms per liter. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services has determined a safe level of Gen X that is about three orders of magnitude higher than that EPA advisory level for the older chemicals.
We're getting a lot of questions about the health impacts, and Dr. Brander, I would like you to address that in just a moment. But first, Joseph from Wilmington called in and left this message. He asks, how could this have gone on 35 years undetected? Chemours says they're a new company, but they're a subsidiary of DuPont. Mayor Sappho.
That's the big question. I mean, for this to be in the river since 1980 and nobody pick it up, I'm totally baffled. I'm upset. Understand that I personally have been drinking this stuff for over 30-some years. And for the EPA, as I said, to give them a pre-manufacturing permit that tells them not to put this in the river because of their concerns, and then they tell us that they buy another byproduct that this is allowed into the river. That's why I feel that there was a failure on the regulatory side to identify and to stop this. And I think that if EPA was doing their job, DEQ was doing their job, if they were looking for this, we would have had it. To have an NC State professor that took it upon himself to do the study, we would have never found this. And that, to me, is where we have a loophole in the system, and we have to continue to monitor the Cape Fear River. It is not only the source of drinking water for southeastern North Carolina. It is one of the largest rivers in the state of North Carolina. It is the only river that I know of in the state that's within the state of North Carolina. And there's a lot of people that depend on that river for their drinking water. And we need to not only monitor from Fayetteville down to Wilmington, we need to monitor up and down that river all the time. And the other thing that surprised me was the fact is on an unregulated compound or unregulated chemical, there are no guidelines.
So
that shocks me.
And that I think that's surprising to a lot of people in this region. Suzanne Brander, why is this family of chemical compounds, which we're pretty sure are toxic to people, why is that unregulated in this country but regulated in a place like Sweden?
There are a lot of challenges facing the United States as far as regulation of drinking water and just regulation, environmental regulations in general. Particularly in the past year, we've seen efforts to reduce regulation of by, you know, hampering, say, the Clean Water Act, for example. Advances that had been made by the Obama administration are now being curtailed. And so we're currently in a period of time where there's a drive to reduce regulation rather than to increase it. The other challenge is funding for research. Often studies on these emerging chemicals that are developed by a particular company for use in a product, that toxicity testing is done by the company itself rather than at a university or at an agency. And really, a lot of the reason for that is that there just is not enough funding to conduct extensive studies independent of, you know, of the company manufacturing that chemical, for example. So those are some of the challenges facing us in the U.S.
Mayor Bill Saffo, Natalie asks, when are officials going to get safe drinking water to us, especially the most needy among us? I don't want to hear that the water, quote, meets drinking water standards, because it's very clear those standards mean nothing in terms of protecting human health. Chemical technology has outpaced regulation, largely due to industry lobbying. She asks, so relying on outdated standards is a moot point. We know that water is not safe to drink. How and when will they fix that?
We expect, and I made this comment last night, I expect the Environmental Protection Agency that gave these people the permit, who sets the standards for drinking water in this country, to come down here and tell the people of southeastern North Carolina whether you can drink the water or not, or how safe it is. Give us all of the information that you have at your disposal, make it transparent, and let people make the decision. But they ultimately are the responsible agency that we have to depend on as citizens to determine if we can drink the water or not.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's the next public conversation about the chemical compound Gen X in southeastern North Carolina's drinking water supply. Mayor Bill Saffo, thank you so much for
being with
us today. When we return from this break, we'll hear from the chairman of New Hanover County's board and the executive director of the water utility. If you'd like to ask a question, call us on this Thursday, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. After the recent public forum on Gen X at Keenan Auditorium, we're continuing that conversation. With us now to answer your questions, Jim Fleckner. He's executive director of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, the agency that provides water to most of the people who live in New Hanover, Brunswick, and Pender counties. Jim Fleckner, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us now is Woody White, the chairman of New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Woody White, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Rachel.
The phone lines are open on this Thursday. You can call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. And Jim Fleckner, we're getting this form of question from a lot of people, and I actually spoke with your environmental management director a couple of days ago about this question. She answered it very well, but I think people want to hear this from you. Why wasn't the public told about this? We understand that there are no regulations for this emerging contaminant. So we understand that CFPUA cannot say, the water isn't safe to drink, stop. We get that. But because you're a public utility, you're a public servant, you are not a for-profit company, what was the thinking on that? Why wouldn't you be mandated as a public servant to say, hey, folks, there's some stuff in the water that we think might be dangerous for people. We really don't know. We're missing a lot of information. But here's the information so you can make the decision about whether you're drinking it.
And that's a great question. And we do share the public's concern. That's the business we're in, is to provide clean water to our customers. To address the question, you really need to step back and look at the roles of the agencies. The Environmental Protection Agency sets the drinking water standards for all utilities across the country. And that's delegated to the states, and in our case, it's North Carolina DEQ, which then regulates us. So when we began the study with Dr. Canapi and got involved, EPA was part of that discussion. They were actually partnering with Dr. Canapi. So when the results came in November, and we saw the report, we knew EPA had the same information. And they have the experts, the toxicologists, and the regulatory authority to look at that information and make a determination. We also knew DEQ had the same information. So our job at that point and our focus was, what can we do from a treatment perspective? Should we be doing something to our plant? Is there something we can do in our process to filter this out? But there was no warning light on the dashboard in Dr. Canapi's report that said there might be a health concern. His conclusion was, we should study this some more, and we should maybe look at source control, trying to keep it from getting in the river to begin with. So we didn't have that sense that there was a health concern.
So then at what point did the health concern element land in front of you? Was it when the Star News broke the story on June 8th or 9th?
It was in April. We asked Dr. Canapi to come back and talk to staff and help us understand, what does this report mean? It's very technical. And in April, he came back and gave us an update and kind of an overview of what he had found. After that meeting, we decided that we needed to engage NCDEQ, and that was our next step, was to send them a letter. And we did bring that to our board in June, and that's right about the same time that the newspaper story came out. So I understand the idea that we had information we were sitting on, but we didn't know what it meant at the time. And we certainly wanted to make sure that the people who can make those determinations had that information.
Woody White, John asks, if a person, company, group dumps illegal toxins into any major water resource, such as a river, in which people receive their drinking water, and if this person, company, group is dumping these toxins into rivers from state to state in the USA, can I report this to the FBI, since these actions are occurring in multiple states, making it a federal crime? And if I can, why hasn't anyone made contact with the FBI and reported Chemours? The company operates in multiple states. By the way, my family and pets are not drinking the water from CFPUA.
Well, I think if you had video evidence or eyewitness testimony that someone was dumping a, quote, illegal substance anywhere, that's a federal crime and there would be prosecutions that ensued. We don't have that here. We do have a company that presumably is operating under a permit. They claim they've got the lawful right to do this. I think we and most people in this community are questioning whether or not they do have the lawful right, and that's part of the inquiry that's going on. But the gentleman does make a good point about common sense here. Common sense says, well, we presume this stuff probably isn't healthy. We don't know at what levels it's acceptable. We're waiting to hear that from the health officials. But okay, it's still in there. So what do we do? What should we have done right at the beginning? Well, as I said last night, I'll repeat it here for your listeners. The first phone call that I made on Thursday after I read the article June 8 was to federal law enforcement officials, a federal prosecutor in Raleigh at the U.S. Attorney's Office. The Eastern District is 21 counties. We have three districts in North Carolina. There are 94 U.S. Attorney's Offices all over the country. We have three of them. Ours is the Eastern District. I picked up the phone, I called the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I spoke to the prosecutor that is over all environmental regulations. And two things could happen. One, there's a civil process in the U.S. Attorney's Office that enforces this same TSCA agreement. So, for example, the pre-manufacture notice from 2009, this company says, hey, we're fine to dump this stuff. We're legal. Look at the order from 2009. Well, EPA and their attorneys in the civil division of the U.S. Attorney's Office decides whether they agree or disagree, and they can go at it civilly, issue subpoenas, demand compliance, do all kinds of things. If that investigation then leads to, all right, well, citizen or employee ABC at Chemours knew and willfully chose to do something illegal, that could make it a crime. And so that's where the investigation could go. I don't know if people committed crimes, but I sure wanted someone with the authority, with the badge and the arrest powers and contempt of court and subpoena to find out and tell us. And that's why we placed the phone call within hours of reading the article.
Is this a pattern? DuPont originally was the producer of this and spun off into Chemours. We've heard reports of Chemours doing this in other states and also in other parts of the world.
You know, I mean, I think your presumption as someone hearing this for the first time 3 weeks ago is to, well, we don't want to defame a company. We don't want to just jump to conclusions. Our society isn't made up of that. There are burdens of proof here. There are processes that we all as a civilized society respect and enjoy that before we just jump to the end result. But when you hear something like this, it's very hard not to jump to the end result and say, what the heck is going on here? So in doing the research, and as was said last night, Google has made experts out of all of us. You read the Parkersburg case. You read what that attorney up there went through for the C8 and the decade-plus long battle he went through at every juncture,
and
stonewalled.
And just to be clear, C8 is the precursor,
it's a precursor
to what we're
Gen
talking
X.
about with Gen X, and it's something that scientists have determined is harmful to humans.
And if you read the origin of his case, a farmer walked in his office and said, hey, all my cows are dying. And the company conscripted some veterinary scientists up there, and they all said, well, you're just a bad farmer. Your cows are dying because you're not feeding them, you're not caring for them right. You fast forward a decade and a half, we learn now that the runoff from the landfill that DuPont monitored poisoned the cows, poisoned the people. And so a lot of junctures, they put up roadblocks and they disseminated false information. We don't know if Chemours is doing that. What we do know is that there's a history of their parent company doing that. And so I think we need to take everything they say with a grain of salt. And as it's been said, trust but verify. We're not even at the trust point yet, but we certainly are at the verify point.
Jim Fleckner of CFPUA, Eula from Southport is asking about the Southport drinking water supply. And I think, you know, we hear Cape Fear Public Utility Authority. I think many folks are confused about where that water actually goes. She asks specifically, is Gen X in the Southport drinking water supply?
I really couldn't say. We serve all of the city of Wilmington and certain unincorporated parts of New Hanover County, but we don't serve Brunswick or Pender counties.
But the water that Brunswick and Pender County use comes from your plant.
No, it comes from their own plants, but their water source is the same as ours, the Cape Fear River at Lock and Dam number 1.
Do they not buy water from CFPUA?
No, they would buy it from Lower Cape Fear Water and Sewer Authority, which is a separate group from ours. Same water source, but I can't say whether all of Pender or Brunswick County would have that water source or not.
And so it's likely, though. I mean, I realize that you need to be careful about making leaps, but if we're talking about the same water source and there aren't any treatment processes in use at this point that we know of that remove Gen X from the water, if she's getting her water from a municipal supply in Southport.
If that supply gets their water source from the Cape Fear River, I would say that. But I don't know if all of Brunswick County gets their water source from the Cape Fear River.
We've had a lot of questions about well water. What are you telling people, Jim Fleckner, about the safety of their well water, whether they're in the unincorporated parts of New Hanover County? Can you say anything about that, or is that such a mixed bag?
We use well water for our nanofiltration plant, which is in the northeast part of the county. And we in no way think that has been affected by Gen X. We will run a test on that to confirm that, but there's absolutely no indication to say that that water has been affected. All indication now is that it's limited to the river, but additional testing is needed.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're continuing the conversation about Gen X, the toxic chemical compound found in the Cape Fear River because of discharge from a Chemours facility in Fayetteville. With us to answer your questions on this Thursday, Chairman Woody White of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners and Jim Fleckner, Executive Director of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, or CFPUA. Doug from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. Yes, my name is Doug Springer, and I've just got somewhat of a question and statement. You know, I was previously the Cape Fear Riverkeeper here, currently have a business. We make our living on the river itself. My question is, I don't hear anybody talking about true root cause of this. And to me, root cause is how we recruit industries. And I just sat in a meeting with Mr. White and the commissioners, And their largest line item on the budget for non-governmental organizations was to be given to Wilmington Industrial Development, who's changed their name, doing business as Wilmington Business Development. And they're the exact type of organization that recruits this type of industry. They're the ones that brought Titan Cement here. We spent millions of dollars trying to fight that, kept them away. If Titan was here, you'd be having these conversations about impacts from that plant to our air and water. And there was no, I hear no conversations about saying, let's quit funding the same organization that is intent on bringing these dirty industries to our area. So I would say, how do we change that model?
Doug, thanks so much for your comment. Woody, last night at the public forum, there was a question about does the situation make you reconsider the treatment of the special use permit, and does it kind of reinforce how important that is as a gatekeeper to New Hanover County? And your response last night was the SUP doesn't have anything to do with this situation because this is so much farther upriver. It's not within our jurisdiction, but is the principle the same?
Not really. I mean, the caller is a well-known advocate and has a political point of view that is in large part not shared by the vast majority of this community. He asks these same questions all the time, and I commend him for his persistence. He's certainly entitled to his opinions. But what we're talking about with Gen X and what Chemours may have done 85, 90 miles upstream has nothing to do with what he's talking about. He's trying to engage and parlay a real right crisis here with water to, well, we shouldn't have any industry here in our community. And that's a totally different conversation. If we're never going to have another job created here with industry, then let's just close the community college down, or let's turn it into a humanities college. You know, well, let's don't worry about trying to employ our people. What he's missing, and what some of his other advocacy groups are missing, is that you have to have a balance here. We have to have a diverse economy. We have to have people that can get jobs. And but that does not mean that we poison the water. So you don't have to have one without the other. There's a balance. And so I reject this opportunity that some advocacy groups are seeing to use this as a means of infecting negative commentary on what needs to be a real continued effort at diversifying our economy. I never supported Titan Cement. Nobody that I know wanted Titan Cement to come here. And so it's really not fair for that to even come into the equation here.
This is a question from Dylan, not Dylan from city staff, to be clear. And I think, Jim Fleckner, it's probably a question for you, but Woody, if afterwards you want to weigh in. He'd like to know, should DuPont, I think he means Chemours, or CFPUA, be responsible for paying for any early detection cancer screenings that some concerned citizens may want to do for themselves? If I want to get a test done for myself, should I have to foot the bill since this is someone else's big mistake?
I wouldn't see that as a CFPUA responsibility. We didn't put this chemical in the river. We didn't know it was there, and we can't treat for it. So I would think if it does go that way, that would be something that wouldn't be a CFPUA expense. But I certainly understand his concern. We're all concerned about this. And as the people who treat the water and distribute the water, nobody takes this more seriously than we do. And we are here to work with the county and others to see this to the very end for our customers.
Don writes, shouldn't the law require chemical companies to test the harmful effects of new compounds before they are used in manufacturing and submit the results to authorities so the public and the company's own employees can be informed? Woody White.
Yeah, that gets to the heart of the real question right here, that the present state of the law would suggest that that's what most people believe would happen. That process. Chronologically, you say, well, look, I want to make C8. I want to make a fluorinated type chemical for frying pans and Scotch Guard and everything else. But here's what the effects are. Instead, it's the reverse. They do it, And then they go to a pre-manufacture notice process, and EPA, I guess, puts the notebook on a shelf and really doesn't look at it anymore. That's frightening to me. And I know there's this national debate going on right now about the EPA and conservatives and liberals and whether they should do away with it, expand it, contract it. All I know is that here in my community, I want that protection. I want to know our water's safe. I think there is a balance that we all expect to be struck here between business and in the environment. 95% of the people are going to agree that that has to happen. So let's stop talking about it in terms of getting rid of the EPA or getting rid of industry. Let's be reasonable and let's demand that our federal officials fix this loophole, because it is a loophole from what Chemours has said. They are exploiting a loophole on this substance.
Very quickly, at last night's forum, Natalie English of the Chamber of Commerce said that tourists are still coming here. No business that she knows of has decided to not locate here because of Gen X. But she did say, we know of businesses who've put the decision on hold until they see how this whole situation shakes out. Woody White, have you been hearing similar rumblings? I mean, is this hurting the economy?
I've not heard that until last night. I'm sure it's not helping our region. How could it? So, yeah, a real issue is working forward. What, if any, damage to our brand, to the city of Wilmington, to the Cape Fear region has been done? Is there a cause of action for that? Who pays for that? How do we pursue that? All of those questions are being actively explored. Because Jim's right, the CFPUA didn't do this, the county didn't do this, the city. This was a company 100 miles upstream and potentially other companies with other substances. But we're going to continue the pressure on this, and I appreciated the opportunity of coming in here and talking to you about it today and your listeners.
Of course, we're going to continue to follow up with you, Woody White, and give people updates as long as this is an unfolding situation. Thank you so much for being with us today. You're listening to Coastline. We're continuing the conversation on Gen X, the toxic chemical compound that's in the Cape Fear River, which is the water source for most people in Brunswick, New Hanover, and Pender counties. When we come back, you'll still have a chance to ask questions of CFPUA's Jim Fleckner and toxicologist Suzanne Brander on this Thursday. Call us at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. It's a conversation about Gen X, the chemical compound in the water, why it's in the water, what else is in there, and how members of the public need to think about this. With us right now to answer your questions, Jim Fleckner. He's Executive Director of the Cape Fear Public Utility Authority, CFPUA, and Suzanne Brander, Assistant Professor in the Department of Biology and Marine Biology at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. She has a PhD in toxicology. And you have one segment left to ask your question. We have lots of questions. We're not going to get to them all, but we're doing our best. Our phone number is 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Suzanne Brander, I've gotten a question in this form from a number of people. Jane is asking about safe practices for washing dishes, hand washing, use of a dishwasher. We've heard that tainted drinking water is not even the half of it. We've heard some people say that inhaling water molecules in the shower, for instance, could compromise your lung health. What of this is true, and what is hyperbole?
Sure. And a lot of this is still a bit up in the air because we don't know the true extent of the effects of Gen X and the other compounds that were detected in the waterway. If I were to give advice based on what my family is doing currently, based on my knowledge of the potential toxicity of these perfluorinated compounds, is that drinking water right now is a priority, that we get that treated using reverse osmosis. So that can be purchased at various local supermarkets, for example, or some people I know have actually installed a filter under their sink, and that is 90 to 98% effective.
Do we know that? I've heard there's debate about that. There are questions around the size of the molecules.
There is debate about that. And last night, listening to Dr. Canapi at the forum at the Keenan Auditorium last night, he actually stated, and he also states this in the paper that was published, that reverse osmosis is the best approach to removing these types of molecules because they don't reliably adhere to activated carbon filters. Sometimes filters can actually concentrate these chemicals and then release them once the filter has become saturated. So for those reasons, reverse osmosis is not, it's not a perfect solution, but at the moment, it's probably the best solution for drinking water. As far as other concerns like showering, washing vegetables, washing your dishes, it's really, you know, Gen X and these perfluorinated chemicals aren't the only chemicals in the water. There are lots of micropollutants in the water, usually at lower levels, a couple orders of magnitude lower. But it's difficult to avoid exposure to everything. And I would say a reasonable approach, if you're really concerned, would be to limit your exposure via drinking water. You know, if you're boiling pasta or, you know, using a large volume of water in your food, to use treated water. But for showering, for, you know, things like concerns about inhaling the chemical, you might be exposed to a small amount of it in the shower, but it's far more of a concern if, you know, when you're thinking about drinking water, if you're trying to prioritize.
It really is worse to ingest it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jim Fleckner, is it feasible for CFPUA to add reverse osmosis to its processes?
We're looking at all of our options now to see if there are things we can do over the short term in terms of changing out our filter material that would be something we could do within a year. We're also looking to see what it would mean to add reverse osmosis to our treatment plant. Our plant doesn't currently do that. And the early indications that we're hearing that it would remove about 90% of compounds such as Gen X, but the cost would be well over $100 million. So this is something, from my perspective, the better solution is keep Gen X out of the river. Don't put the burden on our ratepayers to update our plant. The better solution is keep these compounds from getting there in the first
place. Which is so logical and practical, but it's already in the river. So how long do we have to wait before we know it's gone? How does the river flow work? When is it out of the river? And is it going to come back? I mean, isn't Chemours going to start up its manufacturing process again in a few months and, barring some sort of serious legal action, start discharging it into the river again? I mean, this is a temporary fix. This is not the end of the story.
We're doing a couple of very important things. First, we're testing the river water three times a week now that they have stated they've stopped discharging. We want to be able to quantify how quickly the Gen X levels drop and how low they get. And that will help our experts at UNCW and others give us advice, and the EPA give us advice as to what that means in terms of public health. And we're going to continue to monitor that at least once a week for the duration until this all gets resolved. So in terms of other chemicals, we're also looking to partner with research groups such as UNCW to quantify what else is out there and gather the same information. And if there is something that can be done on the regulatory side, work with the state and EPA to get that resolved. But it's very difficult to put all of this on each local water treatment plant up and down the river when a better solution, in my mind, is keep it out of the river to begin with.
Well, let's say that from a legal standpoint or a regulatory standpoint, things don't go your way. Let's say that Chemours starts its manufacturing process again in November, which is a possibility as I understand it. And because they say that it's legal for them to discharge Gen X as a byproduct into the river, they're saying they're on solid legal ground. So if nobody is able to dispute that, then it's still going to go into the river. So what then?
We have some of the best environmental lawyers across the state working for us on our team, which means they're on the same team as this community, and they are going to make sure DEQ keeps this from happening again. So we are very comfortable that we are in very good position in that sense.
You're listening to Coastline, continuing the public conversation about Gen X, the emerging contaminant that is present in the Cape Fear River. We have Jim Fleckner, who is executive director of CFPUA, and Suzanne Brander, who is a toxicologist at UNCW, taking your questions. Valerie from Wilmington Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you, Rachel. This is Valerie Robertson, and I have a question for Dr. Brander.
Hi, Val.
Hi, Valerie.
Go ahead.
I've been drinking Wilmington's tap water for 22 years. If we need data at some point to show that Gen X has accumulated in our homes and in our bodies, should I be gathering samples now? I'm not cleaning any home filters yet, and I'm not planning to flush my hot water heater in the near future, so whatever's in there will still be available for testing. Mm-hmm. But if I switch to bottled water, shouldn't I get a blood sample pretty soon before this stuff starts working its way out of my system?
Right, and that is an excellent, excellent question. And right now, we don't know how long Gen X is going to persist in, say, serum or in other tissues in the body. We do know from extensive studies with C8, which was Gen X's predecessor, as everyone knows, that the half-life of C8 could exceed 2 to 3 years. And so you're looking at a very long extended period that it could be detected in the body. As far as questions about collecting samples now, those are discussions that some of us are having at UNCW with collaborators, thinking about the potential for study of samples from humans, of samples from sediments. We don't know how long Gen X might persist in environmental compartments like sediments or fish tissues, for example. These are all open questions that we're formulating ideas about how to approach right now. I will say that there is not a direct place to send such samples at this time, but hopefully there will be information about that forthcoming.
Valerie, thank you so much for that call. And we have Ruth. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hello there. How are you today?
Good, thanks, Ruth. What's your question?
Well, it's not a question. It's, I guess, just a statement. So apparently this has been going on for some time, and all I want to quote is my parents from Britain, and what they always say is, you can't have it and spend it. And so here's where our taxes come in, and you either pay, and you pay now or you pay later. And so people are, I guess, learning the lessons of what you need to do is be involved and be aware of what we're throwing out. Be aware of what's going into the rivers, regardless of whether we're throwing things out and recycling and being more conservative and preservative to our environment and being a little bit more aware of what companies are doing.
Great.
And making them accountable. And then, and just being more, better citizens of our planet. And now we're paying for it.
That's an excellent point. Thank you so much for your call, Ruth. We have an email from Bea. She writes, I'd like to thank the mayor for standing up for our community. That being said, I think this is a classic example of profits over people. Jim Fleckner, could you speak to the ties to DuPont Dow Chemical and one of the board members of CFPUA that oversees water safety standards? There was, as we understand it, there was an internal review conducted by CFPUA, and part of that review was to answer the question, what happened in the communication process? Why didn't the public and the board know about the presence of these emerging contaminants sooner? And it came out that one of the people involved in that investigation on the CFPUA board used to work for DuPont. And she admitted that she knows people at Chemours. And, and so the rest of us are sitting back here going, wow, so this thing has happened kind of under our noses. And then the review isn't even completely clean.
One of the reasons that board member was chosen to look at our actions, and I'd like to point out that she and another outside attorney conducted the review, and they found that we acted responsibly and quickly and professionally, was that she has a very good background in chemical engineering and understands what we do as a utility. The review was not of Ken Moore's review was of what staff did, what we knew, when we knew it.
At CFPUA.
And it was really independent of anything outside of CFPUA. So in that sense, it makes
What do you mean it was independent of anything outside of CFPUA?
We weren't looking at Chemours. That review was not looking at Chemours. It was looking at our response, and that we talked about that in the in this first section I was in.
Yeah.
What did we do in November when we got the results of the report? And why didn't we report it? We discussed that.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with what was going on 100 miles upstream.
One of the suggestions at a recent board meeting for improving communications at CFPUA was to make sure the board signs off on any studies in which CFPUA participates. And I've had some questions from people who've said, doesn't that make it harder for CFPUA to participate in studies and perhaps add another layer of bureaucracy, in essence, squashing inquiry? And isn't that the opposite of what we want to do, given what we know now?
And I would agree. This shows that we need to be involved in more of these studies. If we hadn't been involved in this study and this Dr. Knappe hadn't done his work, we wouldn't know all this and we wouldn't be having these important discussions. The notion of bringing future contracts and relationships to the board puts it out in the public domain. The board meetings are public. It's an opportunity for everyone to see exactly what we're doing and why, and also to get the results of those studies. So I think it makes a lot of sense, and it really makes these things more visible and more transparent for people to see in the future.
I have a question from Nancy. She writes, I live in Pender County and have searched for information regarding Gen X in Pender drinking water. Does anyone know? And throughout this discussion, we've been saying that most people in New Hanover, Pender, and Brunswick County get their drinking water in some form from the Cape Fear River. So, Jim Fleckner, I know that you're here representing CFPUA, which is not Pender County, but can you help Nancy?
I know Pender County does have a plant that does use the Cape Fear River as its source, but what I don't know is the service area for that plant. I don't know where they distribute that water. So I would suggest that people get in touch with Pender County Public Utilities, and I'm sure they'd be able to answer that question pretty quickly for them. And we have a map on our website where people can enter their address, and it will display what their water source is, whether it's groundwater or surface water, which is the Cape Fear River.
We have lots of questions in one form or another, Suzanne Brander, mm-hmm. about health effects.
Mm-hmm.
And you've said earlier that there's just so much we don't know. We still don't understand bioaccumulation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any epidemiological evidence of cancer clusters in the areas that are served with water from the Cape Fear River? That came from Ellen, but I'm getting that question in a lot of different forms. And so...
Sure. As far as I am aware, there are no epidemiological studies that exist as of now in relation to specifically to Gen X. There are a number of studies that have been done globally that link C8, Gen X's predecessor, to different types of cancer, to breast cancer, for example, to testicular cancer, to cancers of the liver. One of the major concerns about perfluorinated chemicals is that they act as a class of chemicals as endocrine-disrupting compounds, meaning they interfere with hormonal signaling in the body. And so C8 was found to basically interfere with fatty acid synthesis in the body because C8 as a molecule looks a lot like a fatty acid, which we have receptors in our cells to identify. And so the question is, does Gen X do the same thing? Is it molecularly similar enough to do what C8 does?
Jim Fleckner, very quickly, final thought. What do people need to take away from this?
They need to know we have some of the best attorneys and best engineers and scientists working on this issue, and we will continue to stay with it until it's resolved and we have all the answers and all the solutions.
And in the meantime, drink bottled water, Suzanne Brander?
I would say reverse osmosis-treated water or bottled water would be the best option for drinking.
That's this edition of Coastline. Suzanne Brander, Jim Fleckner, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks also to New Hanover County Commission Chair Woody White and Wilmington Mayor Bill Sappho. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Caleb Covington engineered today's show. And you'll find this show later today on our website at whqr.org. You can also get the podcast. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.